The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do, Mr. Anthony Rose?
We give the people what they want.
Yes, we do. We have the championship duo of AD and LeBron falling short to Steph last night. We also have the man, Ryan Garcia, superstar boxer, joining us later in the show. But we start with one of the best regular season games I've seen in a long time. That was between the new look Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. A back and forth battle that went down to the wire, and it was KD, the Slim Reaper, from the top of the key off a rebound from Harden to ice the victory for the Nets. Jalen, I know you're watching every second of this one. What did you see from the Nets last night?
Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Jacoby, we have must-see TV. Mm-hmm. Each night, league pass, Eastern Standard Time. These guys have made themselves the proverbial villain in sports. KD left the Splash Brothers and is returning from an Achilles injury. Put him in a conversations of top player in the game already. James Harden, back-to-back triple-doubles on a new squad. It's a pecking order we got going on in the East, and they did it against the Bucks. James Harden is putting up elite-level numbers his first couple of games.
He really is. He did not quite reach a triple-double, but he was almost at a triple-double last night. It looked so good to see him in that black as the true villains of the NBA creating this super team. I'm not going to overreact to one regular season game in January against the Bucks. Oh, wait, yes, I am. Yes, I am. This is the team to beat in the East. And against these Bucks, who they may meet in the playoffs, perhaps, the Eastern Conference Finals, it's notable to see how they defended Giannis, something that you noticed as well. What did you see about how they went at Giannis on the defensive end?
So that's classic mental manipulation. That's not just about Giannis' percentages or his ability or inability to shoot the ball. Because if that was a point guard or a wing, you wouldn't back off of them like that. Mm. But based on the geometry of the floor, since Giannis plays a lot of four or point center with Lopez in the center, in the corner, now you're basically saying, we want your big man to come down and shoot it from 30 feet each time. And we're going to play those percentages. And so everybody stands back and watches because you know he's going to make all of his dunks. And I remember he made a strong dunk in the first half. I saw the Nets bench in the back like, whatever, dog. You really going to celebrate like that? I know James Harden was like, yeah, remember I told y'all when I was in Houston that he was just getting dunks? So they're trying to mentally manipulate the back-to-back MVP. So what Giannis needs to do, Jacoby, is continue to play with pace and continue to play with force. If they're going to give you that space, you occupy it. That's what you do. Yep. If you don't want to walk into a three, then you take up that space and you turn that into a downhill play and or into a pull-up jumper. But you know what else you can do? Dribble handoffs. It can be other action, passes, quick screenaways. So now that Middleton can turn the corner. They tried it with Forbes a couple of times. He just missed the shot. So for the Milwaukee Bucks, there's so many things offensively they can do to take advantage of a team like the Nets that's going to try to force Giannis to shoot all three-pointers. but there are also things he can do as a player to continue to attack and take up that space. And then also make DeAndre Jordan work, who had a double-double, was catching lobs, and ended up being a game-changing player along with Joe Harris for the Nets.
DeAndre Jordan shoots 1,000% from the field in like 10 of 12 games thus far. But one thing to note about DeAndre Jordan, you know I love Jared Allen, I'm going to miss him on these Nets, is he played over 37 minutes last night. And I don't know if that is a recipe moving forward night after night after night. Now, one thing I do want to pay attention to is just what James Harden brings to this offense. He is like the sun. He has a gravitational pull towards him. Like, if they just double him, triple him, they leave KD wide open for a dunk. That's Kevin Durant, wide open for a dunk. And then at the end of the game, everyone's focused on Harden. That leaves KD, again, one of the best scorers that's ever held a basketball, wide open, 4-3. His assisting is just going to go up. That gravitational pull that he brings this offense is going to make those dunks that you saw from DeAndre Jordan, the open threes from Joe Harris, who hit a big one at the end of the game. And I cannot believe this, but Kevin Durant gets left open from defenses. The elephant in the room is actually not that big. He's actually kind of small, and it is a gentleman by the name of Kyrie Irving. We have some new information as to his whereabouts. In just hours, Kyrie Irving is going to play NBA basketball. That's right. He's expected to join Nets practice today. Just right in front of a back-to-back, or a doubleheader, I should say, not a back-to-back, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sounds like a good backcourt that potentially they could mix it up against. Jalen, what does Kyrie Irving have to do when he steps in this locker room to reestablish himself in this new-look Nets?
Well, there's the score of the game in the game of life, and I do want to acknowledge him purchasing a home for the family of George Floyd.
Salute.
The gentleman who was killed at the knee of an officer in Minnesota for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. For Kyrie to do that and the charitable things that he's been done have been very notable. As he returns to this basketball team in that locker room, the pieces on the chessboard have changed, Jacoby, because at first he was the lead domino. KD was coming off an Achilles injury and somebody needed to sign on the dotted line to hold it down and create an incubator for KD to return and be working on building something special. KD signs, and then all of a sudden, Kyrie goes out with personal reasons. And they trade for James Harden, somebody KD has played with before, and also is gonna be a high volume assist player, flirt with triple doubles, and get his numbers different than Kyrie, which actually doesn't mean they have to necessarily take turns. I know a lot of the plays that they did weren't like assisted toward one another, but like you broke down, there are a couple of plays where they concentrated so much on Harden that KD was wide open. And then KD got a late three also. Kyrie used to having that thing in his hands, Jacoby, and he ain't necessarily used to being a spot-up player or a player that's gonna do a lot of cutting. So will they make it work? Absolutely. But it will take a lot of sacrifice. But man, the Nets are loaded. It is must-see TV.
Exactly like you finished. It is must-see TV. I have never been so excited for a Nets-Cavs game than I am for tomorrow night's matchup between those two teams. I will have all the popcorn, and I expect not only this backcourt to show up and show something special, but the Cleveland Cavaliers backcourt has been playing pretty well this year, too. Sexland. I'd like to see them play some defense against these two. Now, Jalen, the Nets have a duo that is soon going to be a trio of superstars, but the Los Angeles Lakers have a bona fide championship superstar duo who took on Steph Curry in the Warriors. And guess what happened late? After the Lakers kind of got a little complacent with their lead, it was that shot from Steph Curry that got them the game. He had a step back against AD right here behind the back, between the legs, splash to win the game. Jalen, does this tell you more about the Lakers or the Warriors?
Q said it's sunrise in the east, but it sets in the west. Hey, man, when Klay Thompson returns, oh my goodness, you're going to have Kawhi, PG, the Splash Brothers, LeBron, and AD. For me, this was all about Steph Curry putting the world on notice, and it is great to see that he's one of the top players in the game. Mm-hmm. When you won championships the way he has, three of them, and haven't won finals MVP, people can kind of deny you and underestimate that the guy that won it was Kevin Durant. He's been the only unanimous MVP in the history of the league. Now he's out there playing, knowing that his team isn't the favorite. And Steph Curry's out there doing crazy work, Jacoby. How he shot them back in the game. One of my guys, Kelly Oubre, it was great to see him have his best game of the season, making some shots and making some plays and playing with enthusiasm. But this was about Steph, in particular late, because they've been trailing late. They have been trailing that second half of that game.
Now, Jalen, couldn't help but notice that you haven't actually worn your hair on a program of ours for a few months because it's under construction. And we noticed something about the hair of Wardell Stephen Curry that has really turned the Warriors season around. When he had those braids that you see that were too tight, look at the numbers. Under 20 points a game, not a single win. Look at the field goal percentage. It's across the board. The braids are way too tight. He undoes the braids, lets the hair fly, lets the shots fly. Look at those differences, Jalen Rose. Do you think that really it was just the braids that were holding him back to start the season?
It was the braids, but it got him a dope commercial. That's gonna be a legacy commercial I see like Chris Paul has with State Farm. But I knew the league was in trouble the next day when he took out the braids and he made 105 straight threes from the corner. So y'all don't have that on there. So y'all forgot that part when he put in that practice and then all of a sudden, look at those numbers. And I heard you in your intro. When he took out the braids, that was too tight. Yeah, dog, he's playing a lot looser now.
A lot looser. Well, we're going to move away from basketball to a truly horrific situation in Major League Baseball. Well, the Jets went out and hired a GM, a gentleman by the name of Jared Porter. Turns out Jared Porter has sexually harassed, via text messages and a little bit in person, a reporter from his time with the Cubs in 2016. ESPN knew about this from 2017. This involved numerous, over 60 unresponded to text messages, pictures, lewd pictures. Now, Jalen, my question for you is, how did the ESPN know about this for 3 years, but the Mets go ahead and hire him, not even looking into it whatsoever?
Well, this is some of the privilege that people talk about and lack of hiring practices that are taking place in major sports, Jacoby, how Black and brown people seem to be able to be in uniform, but not in positions of ownership, president, GM, or coaches. And like you acknowledge, this was already out there. And he still continued to not only get this job, but a notable job in Major League Baseball. So as now it's been exposed and they've decided to fire him, he put himself in that position and therefore he has to deal with the consequences.
He has been fired. Now, I do not know, I can't say without doubt that the Mets knew about this when they hired him, but it does seem like with a little bit of digging into his background before you hire the GM, they would have found this out. And when you look at the details of this story, it's a truly horrific story about harassment and also sort of taking advantage of someone who's from another country in a new workplace. I am glad to see him fired, and I'm also glad to tell you this. Joining us on this program right after this very short commercial break is that man right there, one of the most vicious punchers you will ever see. Lightweight superstar Ryan Garcia joins Jalen and Jacoby right after this. Stay tuned. Coming to you live from Pier 17, the South Street Seaport, and brought to you by Delicious Heineken. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, do you know who is going to join us right now? Young, rising superstar from the Sweet Science. That man right there, one of the hardest hitting boxers I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Coming off a body blow knockout. That man, body Ryan blow. Garcia, joins Jalen and Jacoby right now. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate you.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you guys. I've been watching you guys' show for a while, and I appreciate it. Just a blessing that I'm on, so let's get to it.
Let's get to it. So we all know that it took that left body blow that knocked out Luke Campbell. However, a lot of people don't know, you actually predicted that it could go down that way. How did you have the foresight to predict a body blow knockout?
You know, I would be taking the credit myself if I didn't humble myself and say, you know, I feel like God really does talk, you know, he really does show you things, you know, if you trust him. So I feel like I just knew because I felt God told me.
Congratulations on being born again, King Ryan. Against Campbell, it was the first time in your professional career that you've actually been knocked down. So what was it like to be on the other end of a big shot like that?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a shot that I obviously didn't see coming. It came out of nowhere, really. By the time I seen it, I was already on the floor and I was already up. So honestly, it didn't feel like anything. I kind of just said to myself, okay, I got knocked down. That's fine. I'm gonna go right back to him. I wasn't losing this fight. And I just kept on taking it to him. And you know, it was a moment in my career that, you know, it needed to show people who I really am. And it was just a moment that now that I look back, I'm thankful for.
I think that's a really good perspective, because watching that fight, I was like, wait, did Ryan Garcia just get knocked down? And there's been some other fighters like Michael Rivera who have said, use that as a way to sort of say that you can't take a punch and you have a glass chin. What would be your message for some fighters that doubt your ability to take a punch?
You know, the best and the greatest have been dropped, you know, from Muhammad Ali to down the line. You know, I don't have to really vouch for myself. I know that I could take a good shot. I just got hit with a good one, and it could happen to the best of us, you know, and especially even in life. You get hit with things you don't see, but it's how you bounce back and keep moving forward. So to the people that say, yeah, I have a glass chin, I mean, if you want to become a boxer and try to test it, you could do that.
And in the lightweight division, you know that that's gonna happen, because you got Lopez, you got Loma, and I saw the interview with Tank. He was talking about you being knocked down by Campbell. So who do you wanna fight next?
Oh, you know where my heart's at. You know, I really do wanna have that fight with Gervonta Davis, and I will knock him out in 2 rounds. That will happen. Put the deuces up, 2 rounds, he will get knocked out. Mark my words. So it's just the truth, and it's gonna happen. Gervonta Davis, he knows what's gonna happen. It's just time. Time will tell. I obviously have, you know, how would I say this? I have a potential huge, bigger fight than him. So I might pin him off for the side. You know, I'm still gonna fight him, but I wouldn't not fight him unless it was even a bigger opportunity, but I cannot say anything right now. So I'm just going to keep it at that.
So this bigger opportunity that you speak of, I mean, I know you can't say the name, but does it rhyme with Schmanny Schmackyow, perchance?
I don't know, guys. I don't know. It's up for imagination. You know what I mean? Like, let's all use our imagination here. You know, Manny's a legend, though. Manny is a person that I've always looked up to. He's just like, what can he say? You can't say anything bad about Manny. Like, I wouldn't even be mad in the ring with him. Even if he hit me, I don't know how I would react. I would just like, yo, man, you hit me. Like, I can't believe this. Yes, hit me more. You know what I mean? No, but it's just cool, man. He's just been an inspiration to me, and I'm just happy that, yeah.
Manny is a legend, and I've been in the gym with he and Freddie Roach time and time again. And you're right, that personality, he'd be in the ring smiling the entire time. But also, he'd be trying to knock you out, so watch out for him. What older fighters of other generations do you look up to, or do you pattern your fight game after?
Oh, I would definitely say Muhammad Ali, and then it went to Oscar De La Hoya, then I went to Manny Pacquiao, then of course my big bro now, Canelo Alvarez. Those are just some of the boxers I looked up to. And I even looked up to Floyd for a little bit on his boxing skills. But, you know, there's just a lot of fighters that I take things from. Sugar Ray Robinson, I like the way he moved. I like his combinations. There's just a lot of fighters that I thought were great fighters. And I took little bits and pieces, and I never thought I was better than anybody. I just wanted to learn from that. I loved how Muhammad Ali stood up for what he believed in. I loved how Manny Pacquiao was able to move up 8 weight classes. I loved how Oscar De La Hoya, you know, wasn't afraid to be that pretty boy himself, you know what I mean? And still show that he's a fighter. So there was just a lot of things that I've seen, a lot of fighters that I really enjoyed.
So we have one last question for you, Ryan. Now, you are a rising superstar in the world of boxing. However, you have sort of hinted that you've got your eye on MMA, that maybe around 26 you would make the transition. There's a big fight this weekend, Poirier-McGregor. When you're watching this fight this weekend, will you be looking at McGregor as someone that maybe one day down the road you would face off against?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I see it as, you know, not so much that, you know, I want to prove a point, but it's just the fact that everybody comes to boxing, you know, and Conor didn't get a chance to fight somebody in his own style, and I wanted to do that. If at 26, if, you know, the opportunity comes, I'll go in the MMA ring, and I want to go heads up with him. And I know that if I put my mind to MMA after boxing, I could do something. I could do something amazing.
Well, we really appreciate having you on the show. We'll have some podcast exclusive content with Ryan Garcia. Make sure you check out our podcast today. And we will be right back with more. You're watching Superstar Boxer Ryan Garcia on Jalen and Jacoby. Huge lineup on ESPN, ESPN Plus starting Friday at 7:30. It is the Celtics against the 76ers, and then college basketball 4 p.m. Saturday, Duke, Louisville, and the big fight Saturday night, Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor 2. That one's on ESPN Plus. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, as we reach the end of the NFL season, it is hiring time for front office positions and head coaching positions. And we've noticed some trends about some of these hires in the NFL. What exactly is that?
They lack diversity. And not saying these gentlemen don't deserve the opportunity. I'm just saying over the history of the NFL and the NBA for that matter, players and coaches have been shown and proved that we're smart enough and disciplined enough to wear a uniform, but not be owners, presidents, GMs, and or in the major positions to influence. And so hopefully this is something that gets examined and change continues to be garnered in the NFL, because that's unacceptable when you look at it like that.
Absolutely. We all talked about all the change that would happen in corporations and power positions across the country. We would like to see that actually happen now. Thank you, Ryan Garcia, for coming through. We'll be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m.
You're far too kind. You got to give the people.